has evolved from ragtime to Dixieland to the music of Buddy Rich.
This is Colin from Cannot Justify. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with Icon, Granny Hawkster, and Big Swing.
This event is family friendly and open to the public. This activity is funded in part by a grant from the Lake Region's Arts Council through a Minnesota State Legislative Appropriation and is a nonprofit collaboration between the Kix Band and the Holly High School Jazz Band. Don't miss A Journey Through Jazz at the Holly High School Auditorium, 714 Joseph Street, Holly, Minnesota, 7:30 p.m., February 27th.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. That's right. It is Monday, Attitude Era, Monday Live time. And you have your favorite host, well, maybe not your favorite, but you have the icon. I'll consider you to be your favorite. And I believe we also have Granny out there in Arkansas. How are you?
I'm doing well, Icon. Thank you. Ready for another great show on 89.1 KENZ FM tonight.
And after a week's absence, we have the modern nightmare Matthias. How are you, sir?
Well, after some car trouble and then another following of a full weekend of wrestling, I'm here to have another great show on 89.1 KENZ FM.
And we'll definitely be talking a little bit about that because we do support Below Zero Wrestling here on Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday on 89.1 KENZ FM. As a matter of fact, we had the owner, the founder, Mr. Storkey, here last week. And he talked to us all about that. It was a great interview. He filled in perfectly, but still not quite as good as it would have been if you would have been here, Matthias. So that's what we were missing, was that element of surprise with whatever you were about to say and all that other good stuff that goes with that. With that being said, we are going to continue the show here. We got a big show tonight, as always. We have a three-guest night, as always. So let's go ahead and talk about who we got on tonight. As a matter of fact, tonight we're going back to our roots. We started out as a wrestling show, and then we've branched on to actors and actresses, writers, directors, poets, painters, you name it, we've had them. Now we're going to go back to our roots. Tonight we're going to have Soul Poppy Paccio. We're going to have Vance Nevada, and we're going to have the legend from the WWE, and his name, of course, is Bob Cook. So we're going to have him with us. Can you not hear your headphones?
I'm not getting anything in my earbuds at all.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Hand me one of the wires, and we'll have to jury rig it like we did last week, and we'll try and make this work. And then we'll go from there to the max, like we always do. And we'll see. I need the little adapter thing.
Yep.
I'm sure this is very riveting radio for everybody listening, but we need to do this so Matthias can hear exactly what we're saying. How about now? Good. All right. So first off, Granny, let's catch up with what has happened with you the last week. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I've had some issues, you know, that I had to deal with. You know, had to get a new water line put in my front yard about a week or so ago and got that taken care of. And then went to get my oil changed the other day and found out that I have a very small leak in my gas tank. So that's going to cost about $320 to get fixed, but it's got to be done, unfortunately. The good thing is if we can get the principal amount of the amount we had to finance for the water line, if we can get that paid off in full before March 3rd of next year, because technically we don't have to start making payments until next year, we won't have to pay all that interest. So I'm going to be saving about $5,000 if I can get the amount paid off in full, which I'm very much going to try to do. So,
well, you know, we might be able to save you some money on that gas tank, maybe get a little of that flex seal or flex tape or, you know, you
well,
see those commercials. Well,
it's kind of been there. I guess I've had that for a while, and it's just continuing to get worse. So I'm just going to have to get, you know, a new gas tank for it. So, but it is what it is. But, you know, had a good weekend of wrestling for a cause Saturday. And, you know, and just so you guys know, Granny Hoaxer had an interview this afternoon. This was my second interview with this gentleman who has been a guest on our show several times, Mr. Greg Gilbert.
He is part of the Five Timers Club. That is correct. Yes, he is.
So, and the interview went very, very well.
Well, that sounds like, you know, people may maybe think that I'm bragging here, but I will say this, Granny. You were well known before you, I, and Big Swing hooked up. However, I think since you've hooked up with me and I've introduced you to these people, you've gotten more notoriety. Would you say?
Well, I would say that, yes, and that is true. I mean, you know, Granny is quite popular in the wrestling world. Anybody that knows the name Granny Hoaxer that knows me, you know, I'm well known in many states, but here lately, it's just gotten to be a little bit more popular for me. But I'm very humbled by all that. I'm very humbled
the
fact
that
people recognize me, so.
And I'm glad that I'm able to get you out there. Speaking of getting out there, we have we have about 10 minutes before our guest calls in. So let's talk to Matthias. Now, you had a match this weekend. Did you add any new hardware to your persona?
Well, no, unfortunately. So I actually did get put in an impromptu match. So last weekend,
was Bischoff there again?
No, thank God he wasn't. But another old man, which I'll talk to old men, I'll say, interfered in my matches. But I'll talk about that in a second. So last weekend I missed the show because I had car trouble going to Wisconsin to defend my APW World Heavyweight title, which I successfully did defend, which I had to deal with Greg Hertz, who is one old man who decided to insert his nose into my business. So I took his face and I implanted it with a chair, busted him open really good and blackened his eye for a good couple of weeks. So that was a good thing. And then the next weekend, I participated in a impromptu match with Wrestling Gone Wild, also known as WGW. I got the call on Friday asking if I could come on Saturday afternoon to face Kenny Defiance for the United States Championship, which didn't go so well, and Dirty Ernie decided to stick his nose in my business and count the three count for me to lose my opportunity for the United States Championship. And then the next day, which was yesterday, I proceeded to go to Below Zero Wrestling Winter Slam, where the Slides guys, me, Sylvester J. Fox, The System, and Mac, took on DeLorean Diggs, Downtown Petey Brown, and the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion, Kerry Morton, and his father, one half of the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, an eight-man tag team match. And, it didn't go so well for us as, I guess, Ricky decided to do a couple of cheap things and punches in the face. And a golf club was used, and we got the big L there. But we're aiming to go against NDS here upcoming soon for the Below Zero Wrestling Tag Team Championships. So they're in the past, and the titles are in the future.
You know, it's interesting. There's a couple of people that are regular listeners of the show that are asking in the chat room. There's one comment here. Now, this is not me. This is the listener. We do love all our listeners, whether they like us or not, but they are listeners. And the one listener has made a comment. It seems like Matthias likes to get caught up with other people. It doesn't seem like he works and plays well with others.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Matthias is his own man, and when Matthias goes out solo, he gets successful. And I found that out when I won the EWI Diamond Championship. I won the APW World Heavyweight Championship, and I'm on my way to win the EWI Epic Championship in April 8th in Dickinson, North Dakota. But I stuck myself. Everyone else decided to stick their nose in my business, prefer the elderly people, and I know Granny Hulkster soon enough will stick her nose in my business, in my wrestling career.
We are working on that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're – I already had that plan that she was going to do that. We had – first off, we had Greg Hertz, then we had Dirty Ernie, now we have Ricky Moore, and now God, who's next, who wants to stick their nose in my business. But, you know, I guess I'm not here to – I'm not in the business to make friends. I'm not there to pamper anybody or wipe someone's butt. I'm not there to, you know, kiss their rear end. I'm there to go there and kick the rear end and take the gold or take the women and call it a night. I'm not there to make friends.
It is interesting you say that. And as a wrestler, you know, you can – I believe – what was it? Jeep J. Sorongo told Scott Hall one time, in this business, you can be in the business to make friends or you can make money.
Exactly. That's the thing. Everyone wants to be friends and everybody wants to, but here's the thing. Wrestlers will stab you in the back just as fast as anybody else. And when it comes to the top spot, they will turn their back on you to get to the top. When you get an opportunity, you've earned it. But if you try to make friends with people and you try to elicitate yourself and make yourself a part of their group, well, they're just going to be like, well, I'm here and you're there. And, you know, there's no point to it. If you're not there to be the top person, the top solo person, if you're not there to be the champion, you don't belong in the world of professional wrestling.
True. And, you know, we do love Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, probably my favorite character. And we definitely do love and miss Scott Hall to this day. But
and of course, you guys heard. Here we go.
You know, I do love that. I've always loved that theme song, you know, and I'm always going to miss Scott Hall, you know.
But the one thing I'm finding...
Of course,
go ahead,
you
Granny.
Guys... Of course, you guys have heard that we lost another great legend in the wrestling world, Lanny Poffo, the genius.
Yep. Yeah. I said, this world, like recently, we've lost so many people in the world of professional wrestling. It's been like
Jay Briscoe, Lanny Poffo, and
Jason Strife, a good friend of mine, Damon Knight.
Yes.
We've lost a lot of people recently through the world of professional wrestling. We lost... I'm going to hate myself for missing this. We lost New Jack not too long ago. Who's the commentator for TNA we lost? I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, yeah.
Not Mike TNA, but Don.
Don West. Don West.
Donnie West. Yep, Don West.
So
yep.
we've lost so many people in the world. We lost people at young age. We've lost people at old age. And 2022 is one of the more... effective years in the world of saying goodbyes, but you know, anytime you have to say goodbye to somebody in the world of the professional wrestling, it's always difficult.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, here's the interesting thing about Lanny Poffo, better known for us as the genius. He was supposed to be a guest on our show this year. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen now.
I got and to meet him one time, and he actually gave me a copy of his book that he had written, and I actually have a copy of that book that he wrote, you know, the rhymes that he used to tell all the time when he was in wrestling, you know, and I actually have a copy of that book, and he was really super nice when we met him.
He was very gracious every time I talked to him through Facebook Messenger. We just could never nail down a date. And I booked him last year for this year. And like I say, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to be with us, unfortunately. So I'm going to work on trying to fill that void. It's going to be tough to find another legend, but...
I know, if anything, if I could try, we could maybe get Ricky Morton on here.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that.
Since I, you know, worked with him recently. I mean, he's a cool cat. He's a really nice guy. But here's one thing. He is very strong-minded. He will respect you, but when he wants to talk and he wants to get his words out, he will stop you and he will say some things. And he's not saying it to be hurtful. He's just being direct because, you know, he's been in the business for so long. And after the match, he was talking to everybody pretty strictly, and he was saying what went wrong or what went right. And he wasn't doing it to be rude by any means, but he was just telling everybody, like, hey, we need to work on this or that kind of thing. Because he's like, because I booked for NWA, and the people that I work with, they're good. I want to send them up there. And so it's like, if you want to make the top spot, you got to impress the people of the olden times, the old-timers, I guess.
I'll tell you what.
Ricky Morrison is really awesome.
I'm going to try and get a guest on right now.
I know Ricky and Robert personally, and he's awesome. They're both
awesome. They're both. Yeah, well, I don't know if we're, can you hear that phone ringing at all, Granny?
Yes, I
know, I'm trying to get our guest.
Oh, anyway, so, both the Rock and Roll Express were really cool. It was kind of unfortunate we couldn't get Gibson involved in the biz, but I guess Ricky Morton and his son Kerry, those two were cool. I mean, I didn't interact much with them, unfortunately, but I mean, like, because they were so busy, and then, got to meet Fandango, or Dirty Dangle now. I got to meet him, and then I got to work with Kalisto in the ring a little bit, Samurai Del Sol, as they call him now. So it was kind of cool. I got to meet some legends and stuff like that before they departed from Fargo. So I got to talk to them and, you know, get to know a little bit of their genius and stuff like that. So it was pretty interesting.
All right, looks like our first guest is on the line right now. One second here. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is our first guest of the night. He is the sweetest guy. Just ask him by his name. He is Sweet Daddy. He is so poppy by Joe.
How y'all doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
Really good, really good. You know, just hanging out right now. I had a long weekend of shows, so it's nice to kind of just sit back and take it easy.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want, we can do that liner at the end or at the beginning, whatever you prefer.
No, that's not important to me. At the beginning, sure.
All right, go ahead. I'll let you fire it away, and I'll record it, and then we'll start interviewing. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Sweet Daddy Soul here, just coming in from a long weekend of shows, and I'm so happy to be here on the podcast right now.
Awesome. So here's what we're going to do here, Sweet Daddy. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and I'll ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. So go ahead, give us a little background about yourself.
Yeah, Sweet Daddy Soul, my wrestling name. My original wrestling name is actually Jeremy Joseph, which is just two names for my actual real name. Started out in Winnipeg, Manitoba in 2016, had my debut match under that name, Jeremy Joseph. Trained with a local guy named AJ Sanchez and Danny Duggan. Went on to go and train with Lance Storm a couple years later, Ricky Marvin and Scotty over in Mexico. I've been wrestling about 7 years now. My character, that similar of Jim Carrey's The Mask, as many people would say. That's who I am. I'm a high flyer, technical wrestler if I need to be, and a brawler if I feel like. So just a little bit of everything. And, really happy to be on the podcast. Thank you.
Well, you know, and we do appreciate you joining us. We got Sweet Daddy Soul here, and we got 27 minutes here with our man here. And I will say the only thing that I have an issue with Winnipeg is the Goldeyes. That's one of our arch rival baseball teams here for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks. But we're not going to hear talk about baseball. We're here to talk about wrestling. So you have been with several, different companies, wrestling organizations over your tenure in the business. What was your longest stay for a company, and what was your shortest stay for a company?
Longest stay. I mean, I mean, it's hard to say, like, longest stay, because I feel like, I mean, I'm always being asked to come back from everywhere I've worked. So it's not that I don't think I've had a short stay in anywhere, and I don't think I've had the longest tenure yet, because I've just been kind of going and coming to the places that I've debuted, and they keep getting asked to come back. So, but I would definitely say, if we're going to narrow some things down, my tenure in Mexico at IWRG was a pretty fun one. I mean, just getting to be on television for 5 months or the better part of it, and getting to be in main event matches and showcased across 5-6 different countries on television was pretty cool. So I definitely have to say that was a great tenure. As far as my shortest tenure, well, I guess I would have to be when I first started in Winnipeg. I mean, it was only around for about 7 or 8 months. It was with CWE. I actually just returned for them last weekend in Winnipeg. But, yeah, so I was there for about 8 or 9 months, and then I spent 6 years away, I guess. So that would have been the shortest tenure, I think. But, yeah, to answer your question, there we go.
You know, and for those of you guys who have not ever seen what Sweet Daddy Soul looks like, man, this guy is – he is built, and he looks like he could have been – now, don't take this wrong way, but it looks like Menudo stole his gimmick. He's that good-looking. He's a great guy. So we're glad to have you with us. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you this great question. We'll see if this triggers something with our next – co-host, and then we'll go over to the other who knows one of your trainers slash opponents slash buddies. So now, when you wrestle, you know, you mentioned that you're high flyer, and you also mentioned that you're a brawler, but are you more of a baby face, a heel, an in-betweeny, or are you more of a crowd guy?
Yeah, I would say I can be any one of those things depending on the story, the situation, the time, place. I'm definitely not a one-dimensional guy. I feel like my range as a character, a performer, and an entertainer is just that. I am full spectrum. Whatever it calls for, when the call is for me to do something, maybe you never see me do before, and I just pull it out of my toolbox, as I'll say. I think everything about me as a wrestler is just it's a blown up version of me, of everything in my life. I played football, I played hockey, I played baseball. Funny you mention that, I actually have a very famous great uncle named Al Bumbry, who's part of the Baltimore Orioles Ring of Honor. So
that is awesome.
Tips about my family there. So, you know, I've played all kinds of sports. I think, you know, the brawler part of me comes out as a hockey player. I mean, I was a rough, tough kid growing up in the streets of Winnipeg and in the cold weather. You know, I went to outdoor hockey rinks at minus 45, and, you know, I played until I couldn't feel anything on my body. So that's the kind of person I am. So, you know, you bring that element out of me in a match, and I mean, you're going to get a version of me, you know, that hockey fighter coming out of me. So, and that football player, that quarterback version of me, is the tough guy that can take a hit no matter who it is, how big they are. I've taken it from the best of the best. I mean, I played with the first overall CFL draft pick, Enoch Mwamba. He was a linebacker at my university, St. Effects. And, I mean, he played for the Indianapolis Colts for 4 years, and that guy used to lay me out in practice. So when it comes to being a tough guy in the ring, taking shots, I can take them because I took them as a quarterback from the best. So I think an element of who I was as an athlete is just the very element and the essence of who I am as a pro wrestler as well.
Well, you know, we're here in North Dakota, so we know all about how cold it gets up in Winnipeg, definitely. Sweet Daddy, Sweet Daddy's our guest. Here, Sweet Daddy. So we got 21 minutes here. Granny, he didn't mention if he didn't really go direct, so He could be a heel, he could be a nice guy, we don't know. But what do you have for our guest? Go ahead, Granny.
Well, welcome to the show. I am Granny Hulkster, and I am known as the godmother of wrestling. That is my new gimmick name. Now, I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a huge fan of the business. I mean, I love to watch wrestling. I have a lot of independent promotions that I attend to on a regular basis, and my original Granny shirt that I have says, "What you gonna do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you?" Because I do not like the heels. I can talk some pretty good smack to the heels when I have to. So with that being said, what has been one of your more favorite matches that you've done in your career, and who was it against?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think most recently I had one that I'm pretty fond of. I wrestled a guy named James Roth. He's an up-and-coming wrestler in Winnipeg. We had a show, it was the last Thursday, January 26th in Winnipeg at the West End Cultural Center there. Winnipeg Pro Wrestling, name of the promotion, but it was one of those matches where I felt like the crowd just really needed a match like that, and we were just so happy to meet you guys willing to put it on. So it was one of those moments where I got to return home after 5 years, and just to go off something you were just talking about, I did return as a bad guy. So it was a lot of fun for me to bring my Spanish-speaking background, which is new to me. I mean, I just learned the language over the last 3 years, but to go home and talk a lot of smack, as you would say, to my hometown people in another language was a lot of fun. So I'll definitely say that match is something I'll definitely cherish for a long time, just finally come back to Winnipeg after all those years. On an international level, with one of my best friends in the business, Australian Suicide, down in Puerto Rico, we wrestled for tag team championships a couple years back and got the privilege of winning those in Puerto Rico. So I think those two matches definitely for myself stand out for separate reasons, but equally just as important to me on an emotional side. I mean, as professional wrestler, I mean, you know, you go through a lot of things in the business. You travel to a lot of places, meet a lot of different people, but, you know, it's those moments that you get to cherish with some people that you really connect with on a deeper level that I think carries those memories and make them a lot fonder than maybe some of the other ones.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I try to make it fun for the other fans at wrestling shows because the bad guys, they'll tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or they'll say, "Don't you have a curfew at the nursing home?" and all things like that. I mean, there was a promotion that ran in Arkansas till about 2013 called Traditional Championship Wrestling, and they still show the old episodes on TV down in Little Rock, Arkansas area, because I live in Arkansas. And to this day, I still have people come up and ask me, "Hey, aren't you that lady that we saw on TCW? Aren't you Granny Hulkster?" And the last show that they did, I was having to use a cane at the time because I've had both of my knees replaced, and I had not had my first one replaced yet, so I was having to walk with a cane. Well, I had one of those canes that fold up. Well, Tommy Dreamer was in the 8-man elimination tag team match, and it got down to him and Matt Riviera, and Tommy Dreamer grabbed my cane, and he used my cane on Matt Riviera, and he took the handle, and he tucked the handle under Matt's wrestling tights, and he pulled up on the handle and gave him a wedgie to the point where it made him hop like a bunny rabbit. And they were like, and he was swinging my cane, and they're like, "Oh, my God, he broke Granny Hulkster's cane." And, you know, Tommy brings me my cane back by the strap, and he says, "Granny, you might want to take this home and sanitize this tonight. It's really stinky." I mean, what else could you do? I mean, when Tommy Dreamer grabs something out of your hand, you know, you just got to go with it. I mean, you just can't stop me. I wasn't going to stop Tommy Dreamer, you know, no way, you know. So, but I have been told that I'm a super fan, which I love, you know, I love the business. So we're really glad to have you on. It's a pleasure to have you on and get to talk to you tonight.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Sweet Daddy Soul is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. And from time to time, for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, know that if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, you like that, go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture from past guest, current guest, or a future guest. Sweet Daddy, would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
Yeah, sure. I can do that. Absolutely.
Awesome. So we
Our next guy I want to introduce you to, he's our resident wrestler, and I believe he knows Danny Duggan. So, Nightmare, Modern Nightmare Mathias, what do you have for our guest, Sweet Daddy Soul? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Mathias. Welcome to my part of the program. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am very familiar with Mr. Duggan and AJ Sanchez and all that, but I am very familiar with Duggan because him and I had a no-holds-barred match about a year or two ago, and he threw me through a table that didn't break that had thumbtacks covered all over it. So I basically was a pin cushion for a while there, which made an impact. And he also threw mustard in my eyes, which gave me a few awkward nicknames when I came up to the ring for a few fans. So I'd like to thank him personally for that, or you can thank him for that for me. But my main question to you, I would say, I guess Granny kind of took one of them for me. So I guess, as a fellow wrestler, when you were training and stuff like that through AJ or Danny or whoever it was, what was one of your harder struggles throughout your career? Was it training? Was it, building up your character? Was it wrestling in general? What was one of your bigger struggles?
I'd say for me, adapting to just the process of learning how to roll. I mean, I could barely even do a forward roll when I started wrestling. I couldn't do kip up. I couldn't do a lot of the athletic stuff I'm doing now. Not that I was never a good athlete or anything. You know, I spoke about, you know, me playing sports and stuff like that, but it just doesn't call for certain, you know, I would say gymnastics flavors of things where, you know, I just didn't have that control of my body before. And I think wrestling really taught me how to learn how to have control of my body and maneuvering my body when it's in the air or how I'm falling, things of that nature, just learning how to be more technically sound and take care of myself. That's something that I definitely I would say I struggled with in the beginning. As far as the character and stuff like that, you know, I kind of feel like that was a struggle too. Everything's a struggle. You know, in the beginning, I mean, you're trying to really just throw everything you got as a human being, at least I feel like, for me, at the wall, and you're trying to see what sticks. I mean, and I think that goes for life, too. I mean, you know, you don't really know who you want to be, or, you know, maybe you don't know which sports you want to play, or you don't know who your group of friends are supposed to be. Honestly, I think everything in life is a process of elimination, just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks and what works for you. So I think for me, I just was very intensified in the process of critiquing myself and trying to get better. And I would say that I struggled with probably everything. So, I'm just glad to be where I am now and grateful that I didn't give up and that I've continued to just stick with the process of trying to get better.
Absolutely. And then who would you say is one of your dream opponents for – okay, so I guess I'll ask two questions then. Name one of your dream opponents and name a dream match stipulation that you could work later on in the future of your career.
Well, you know it's you, but he can take you.
So I'm going to give you two responses. On an independent level, I'm going to tell you Human Tornado, and on a big star level, I'm going to tell you The Rock. Two different reasons. Human Tornado has a style that I think is unmatched and still is not matched. He's a very unique performer that I don't think really ever got his just due, and I'm very fond of his work and have implemented a lot of things in my style based off of Human Tornado. The Rock, I grew up, he's my idol, my superhero. So if it wasn't for The Rock, I never would have ever gotten into wrestling. Stone Cold, on the flip side of that, the both of them kind of like really made me attract to the entertainment aspect of the business, and that actually helped me become more of a fan of the athletic side of it just through them. But so that, and then I'd say as far as the match stipulation, that's a really awesome question. For me, I think an Iron Man match would be the coolest match stipulation to go through at one point. And I'm not saying because, like, it seems like everybody these days is trying to do a 60-minute Iron Man match out there, but for me, I'd love to implement my style into that into some unique ways. And I think that I could come up with some good things with the right opponents for a great Iron Man match. So I think that, and I think the reason why is because, like I said, I grew up as a big Rock fan, and my favorite wrestling match story involved all time is probably the Iron Man match between The Rock and Triple H, Judgment Day 2000, when The Undertaker got involved and all the shenanigans were involved. I just loved that story. I thought that was one of the best stories in wrestling. I think just a fan in me would love to recreate something like that.
Makes sense. Sweet Daddy Soul is our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 10 minutes here left with our man, so now I'm going to ask you some tougher questions. Now, unfortunately, we don't really know what is going to happen with the WWE, whether they're going to sell it, keep it going, bring it private, whatever it is. We have no idea what the plans are with Vince McMahon back at the helm, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with Vince McMahon being back at the helm. To be honest with you, whether it was a role or not, I never liked Stephanie McMahon, and I definitely don't like Triple H, because we know that Stephanie McMahon got the top because of what her last name is, and Triple H got to where he was because of who he married. That's just my opinion. Nobody else's. That's my opinion. My question to you is, with AEW and WWE, let's say that they're at a match that you're at, one of the officials, they come up to you after the show and say, you know what, we're having tryouts. We think you'd fit good in our roster. Two-part question. One, is that something you'd want to do? And two, would you not big-time us and still talk to us when you get that big-time contract?
you made me chuckle there. That's funny.
That's a loaded question, I know.
It's loaded. Both companies, I think, are great companies. I don't think anybody should be picking and choosing when it comes to the top level in the business. I mean, for me, I would just be grateful to even have an opportunity. Of course, to the second part of your question, absolutely. I don't think no matter what you do or no matter how far you go in the business, I think you always just appreciate your roots. And I don't think you should ever think you're too good to speak to anybody. At least I don't think about that. And in life in general, I mean, you know, I'm not too good to go and stop and say something to somebody that's, you know, maybe struggling on the street or something. So, I mean, I would never change that part of myself just because I would, you know, maybe gain a little bit of fame or something from, you know, being involved in a industry that, you know, is, you know, kind of a bit Hollywood, you know, where, you know, guys, you know, we definitely are looked at as social media type influencers and stuff as pro wrestlers. We have a lot of people following us and, you know, watching what we're doing. So, but I know for myself, like, I would just be grateful to have, like, even an opportunity of some sort. I mean, even if I could just help set up the ring, I mean, I'd just love to be there. That'd be amazing. But, you know, I'm just grateful where I'm at right now. And, you know, if those opportunities come up, I'd just be super grateful that they came and continue the, you know, continue being humble and being grateful that I'm receiving anything. So
I do like how you said that. What's interesting is I had asked a wrestler about that. We were actually her first interview when she was 17. And the wrestler's name was Kenzie Page. I got a call from Big Swing saying, Icon, Kenzie Page is on AEW right now. Check it out. Turn it out. So I turned on the TV. There she was. And I'm like, I'm going to put my question to the test. I called her up. I still had her number. She actually gave me her number. People actually do that. And I called her up, and I said, hey, this is Icon. She said, hey, Icon, how you doing? I only got a few minutes, but how you doing? And I said, no, I don't want to take up any of your time. You kept your promise. You did not big time me, and you talked to me. So there you go. We haven't been able to get her back on the show because of, you know, certain rules and everything. However, she kept her promise. Now, I want to be able to do that to you within maybe the next 6 months, whatever it is. I want to be able to see you on TV, and I'm going to call you up, and I'm going to say, hey, do you remember me? And you're like, oh, yeah, you aren't you that egotistical guy in Fargo, North Dakota? I'm like, no, that was Matthias. We have Sweet Daddy Souls, our guest here.
Of course.
Now, I got to ask you, I got to ask you, all good wrestlers have a finisher. I want to know, what is your finisher? What is it? What is involved? And tell us how devastating it is on a Richter scale meter.
Well, actually, again, I took something from my life, like I tend to do with most things in my wrestling career. I just try to take something from my life and kind of throw it at the wall, see if that sticks for something. And, I mean, as far as the move-wise, I came up with this move. It's basically kind of like Zack Ryder's Rough Rider, but it's not. Basically, a guy stands straight up, and I push right off the top of his traps, his shoulders, and I push up real high like I'm leapfrogging over him, twist in the air, and I land my leg onto the back of his neck, and he lands flat straight into the mat. So I call that the sweet leap. And basically, I learned and found that move from me going to the YMCA team nights when I was 14, 15 years old. I used to line up kids or, you know, friends, whatever, all in a row.
You didn't practice our kids, I hope, did you?
Four guys. And I'd jump over all of them. And everybody would go crazy. I was the craziest guy ever, just jumping over people. But that's actually where I, like, kind of originated the move out of. I was like, yeah, I remember when I used to do that. Well, let's see if I can make a move out of that. It always made people go like, whoa, so turned it into a move.
Well, good. That you had me worried there. I thought you were going to say, yeah, I used to practice on little kids when they were at the Y. And
I was the little kid when
Oh, that's awesome. Sweet Daddy Souls on Jester. So
I never did.
So we can do this here.
I swear.
So we can do this here. We got about we got 5 minutes here left. So we can do this. If our fans want to check you out and see it, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok.
Yes,
what do you got?
So TikTok, new to that. My daughter's kind of helping me out with it, sort of. TikTok, Sweet Daddy Soul, or Sweet Poppy Pachuco, Soul Poppy Pachuco on there. Soul Poppy Pachuco on Facebook, and Sweet Daddy Soul on Instagram.
You know, and you mentioned that you when you went back to Winnipeg, you used to yell at the fans in Spanish. Now, you learned Spanish,
yeah,
so does that mean that when you get to the WWE or AEW, you'll be the first wrestler to pitch Rosetta Stone?
Good call. Good call. You know what? That's definitely a great idea, and I'm going to keep that in the back pocket and remind myself that. Maybe that phone call you give me will serve for something to remind me of this idea you just presented.
Right. Now, here's the deal. Now, if you get a contract with Rosetta Stone, I want my residuals.
we'll work something out. You got my word.
That's awesome. You know, I just realized, you know, I like to, for people that haven't went to check you out on the web, I always try and, I did one comparison. I didn't mean to do the Menudo thing. What I meant to say was if you look like anybody, you could probably be James Franco's stunt double or stand-in. You look just like him with the top hat. I mean, you could, perfect. You know, the only thing that's missing on your top hat, though, is, you know, if you get one of those hats like you have, but with those little fabric balls that go around the hat, that would be awesome. That would be a great little thing to add to your persona.
What is that again? Tell me again.
Well, you know, they sometimes
fabric ball?
They have like that hat you're wearing, and sometimes they have little fabric balls dangling around, and it circles the whole hat. That would be a perfect thing for
your
persona.
Yes. Just
I have no
mask,
idea what that hat is called, but it's awesome.
Yes.
I definitely
need to look into that. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Very good point. I like your suggestions.
So there you go, man. So when you start making it big because you change your costume and you get a job with Rosetta Stone, you know that the icon is the one that pushed you to get there.
My man.
Awesome. So with we got only got a few minutes here left before our next guest calls in. So real quick here, what's your next couple dates? If our fans want to check you out that are listening around the world, around the country, what's your next live event that you're going to be at so our fans can come check you out?
Well, being that it is almost April, I am expecting a new baby boy. So within the next 2 months here, you will not be seeing a heck of a lot of me performing because I do have my son who's about to be born. So, but in saying that, I do have a show coming up February 24th in Vernon, B.C. for Thrash Wrestling, who are putting on some really amazing events over the last several months. They've just been selling out like crazy. But in Vernon, B.C., I'll be wrestling a guy by the name of Travis Cole in a singles match there on February 24th. And then following that, March is going to be a bit of a quiet month for me as well as April. There may be some surprises in March. I can't really mention anything about that yet, but perhaps stay tuned to my social media stuff to see. Leading into this summer and in the fall, there will be some big steps that I'm going to be taking. So definitely just keep your eyes close to my social media for any updates, and I'll definitely be sharing those very soon.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Sweet Dad, you're awesome. And if you haven't figured out a name for your son yet, I think Icon Pacheco would be awesome. Thank you for joining us. We'll definitely have you on again. Good luck with the new baby, and we'll be in contact. All right.
Thanks so much. You guys have a great day. Awesome being with you.
Awesome. All right, Sweet Daddy Stoll, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got our next guest waiting in the wings. We got to take a quick little commercial break, a quick little timeout from our new sponsor, and we'll be back after these messages. Stick with us.
So you're outside looking at that ticking time bomb of snow on your roof. A phone call to Elevated Concrete and Snow Removal will solve that problem. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete and Snow Removal on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. Once winter is over, they are ready for any concrete project you have. Elevated Concrete and Snow Removal at 701-866-9018.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room, walking down the aisle, we continue with our Canadian wrestling connection. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man. He is the legend. He is recently celebrated his birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Vance the Meta.
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here.
All right. I was kind of hoping to do that promo quick, but if you want to wait, we can do that at the end, too.
We can do that right off the top if you'd like.
All right, go ahead. I'll count you down, then you do it, and we'll record it. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hey, everybody, this is Mr. Beefy Goodness, Vance, Nevada, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the icon, the big swing, the godmother of wrestling, Granny Hulkster, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
All right, so we have Vance Nevada, so I guess you're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 28 minutes here with the man. So what we're going to do here, Vance, is I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher question. But first, before we do this, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, we'll have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Yeah, you bet. I've been wrestling in Canada primarily for 30 years from coast to coast, primarily in Western Canada. This past year broke the record for the most title reigns held by a male wrestler in Canada in history, with 45 different championship reigns over the course of my career. I've written and published 3 books on the history of Canadian wrestling, with the most recent being Uncontrolled Chaos, which is sort of an encyclopedia of pro wrestling history from 1930 to the present, and still very active on the scene with bookings this year from coast to coast.
That's awesome. And we're going to talk about a lot of those that you've had matches with, some of the legends. We'll talk about that in a little while.
Sure.
But first off, let's kind of get into your wrestling persona. Are you consider yourself more of a high flyer like a Rey Mysterio, a brawler like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, or being in Canada, are you more of a technical wrestler like a Bret Hart?
I think when I started out, you know, the aspiration was always just to sort of model myself after more like a Bret Hart and be a bit of a technician. And I mean, as I've gone on in my career, I would say probably devolved more into sort of that brawler type of ring style, more as accumulation of injuries have piled up.
That's awesome. And when you wrestling, are you more of a babyface, a heel, an in-betweeny, or are you more of a crowd guy?
You know what, I started out 17 years old and weighed 160 pounds and desperately wanted to be a heel. And the promoter at that time said, hey, kid, you know, you're far too good looking to be a heel. You're going to be a babyface. But within a couple of years, you know, I had a promoter come to me and say, you know what, you've got a face that's really easy to hate. So we're going to make you a heel. And at first, I didn't like it. And then I realized that's where the money is. So I've been a heel for, you know, 28 of those 30 years.
Well, this is going to get interesting. Granny, he's a heel. Tell us what you got for our guest. That's Nevada, and we have 25 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show. And, yes, I am the godmother of wrestling, Granny Hulkster, because I love wrestling. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just a huge fan, but I love the wrestling. And I love hollering at the heels. So if I ever had the opportunity to see you in action, I'm sure I would have so much fun playing with you and talking a lot of smack to you.
Awesome. I love it.
You need to come to Arkansas. We've got some good companies. And you need to come to Arkansas and Oklahoma and wrestle. You know, we've got some great companies that you could wrestle for. And then you could see Granny Hulkster in action for yourself. So.
I actually did wrestle in Missouri. I wrestled in Poplar Bluff, Missouri before.
Oh, okay.
For Burt Prentice, way back in the day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would have been way back in the day because, unfortunately, we lost Burt Prentice here not too long ago, unfortunately. But that would have been awesome to see. But I guess my question to you is, what has been one of your more challenging matches, and what kind of match was it, and who was it against?
You know, I think probably, you know, the one that stands out the most would be a series of matches that I had in 2011 and 12 against Adam Pearce, who at that time was the NWA World Champion. And I think for me, you know, when you're on the independents and you reach a level of a success, I guess, to a point where you find yourself being booked in the main event for various promoters and you sort of get this idea in your head that, well, I've made it, like I'm a main event guy. And then when you have the opportunity to work with a guy like Adam Pearce, you really, in just the first few moments of the match, get a real good sense of self to realize, I realize why this guy is the world champion and why he is a master. And so it was a very, very, a humbling experience for me personally to realize that maybe the image that I had of myself as a headline wrestler wasn't as accurate as I thought. But tremendous athlete, tremendous gentleman, master technician in the ring, nothing but a world of respect for Adam Pearce.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's awesome. We have Vance Navad as our guest here on 89.1 Kids FM. We got 22 minutes here. Before we go over to Matthias, we need to take a quick little time out here to do a quick little legal thing here, and we will be right back after we hear this.
You're listening to 89.1 Kens FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
And we are back. And I believe Matthias, the Modern Nightmare, is here. And Vance, he's a wrestler himself. And I know that he's got some great questions that he wants to ask you. And he also, I believe, said that if he had a match with you, he could take you with one hand tied behind his back. So we're going to have him explain himself. Matthias, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, yes, you're talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning defending,
oh my God,
undisputed,
who the hell
APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias here. Welcome to my, actually, I'll repeat that now. Yes, you're talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion, Matthias here. Welcome to my part of the program. Yes, it's always nice to have a fellow wrestler on. And as we talked to our previous guest, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with guys such as AJ Sanchez and Danny Duggan and all them. I've been very familiar with them throughout the years. My main question to you would be, throughout your career, you said you've been wrestling in Canada for about 30-some-odd years. What would you say is one of your biggest struggles you've had all the way from training up until now? Is there a struggle that you still perceive you can't get rid of in your career, or is it kind of just been a smooth sail ever since you started?
No, I think anybody that would say that they've done 30 years and it was all smooth sailing is lying. But I would say probably the biggest challenge for me was, you know, in Canada, the wrestling cities are so far apart that, you know, you really don't have the same opportunities if you were like maybe in the Northeast United States where, you know, you've got wrestling every 2 or 3 hours. You might even be able to do a double shot on the same day with a matinee. You know, here you have Winnipeg where I started. The nearest wrestling city to that was Minneapolis, which was 8 hours, or Calgary to the west, which was 14 hours. To the east was Toronto, which was like a 26-hour drive. So it was really hard geographically to get going. But then as things started to open up in the United States, you know, we would try to get across and get some opportunities there. And particularly after I moved to Vancouver, you know, there was action happening in Seattle, in Portland, Oregon, down, you know, Northern California. And those were all within, you know, like Portland was only a 5-hour drive. Anything in Washington State was just a couple of hours. But navigating the border was probably my biggest opponent. So, in 1999, I actually had a vindictive promoter in Winnipeg call ahead to the border and tell them that I was coming across to work without a visa. So I actually was banned from the United States for 5 years. And then, as I started to get rolling again on the West Coast, I was wrestling regularly for Portland Wrestling when they relaunched in 2003 and 2004. In those situations, the promoters weren't taking care of the work visa issues. And then I got a second ban from the United States. So in total, about 30 years, I was banned for 10 of that from competing in the U.S. And that's a situation that continues to follow me because now I need to have a waiver renewed every 2 or 3 years and all of the paperwork to show that I'm not going to wrestle in the United States, which, I mean, that is, we have to admit, where the money is in North American wrestling. So, you know, it's pretty much a career killer, to get a contract anywhere.
Exactly. And I was going to, I can't believe I never asked this to any of our wrestlers. I can't believe I've always forgotten to ask this. Is there a move that anybody has ever come to you and says, hey, I want to give you this? And is there a move that you absolutely refuse to take, an absolute spot you refuse to do, regardless of who it is?
There's probably many. And maybe, I remember early on in my career, it was, 1993, Leatherface had just come back from Japan, and he was working with IWA Japan at that time doing, the hardcore stuff. And he was telling us, hey, there's these guys, and it was at the time the Headhunters, these big, like, 400-pound South African guys that are doing moonsaults off the top rope to the floor, and it gets really over. You're a young guy, you should try that. And I'd never even done a moonsault into the ring before, but there was this pressure of having that internationally traveled vet, and if I could impress him, maybe I could go to Japan. And I attempted to do the moonsault and, got completely upside down and jammed out and skidded down the ring post and just scraped my back all up. And that was the last time that I attempted a moonsault. As I get older and you're working with different talent, and particularly, young guys that are really enthusiastic but not experienced, there's probably 30% of the stuff that they suggest that I say, I don't think we're doing that tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of moves that I was, like, really hesitant to take. I was wrestling a guy, and he said, can I give you a Rikishi driver? And I'm like, well, just to let you know, like, nobody's been able to ever really pick me up because I'm 260 pounds, and I wrestle usually guys that are about my size or about my height, so they usually we don't try to pick each other up. And then he was like, well, I could try. And I'm like, okay, and he picked me up, and then, you know, we did it just fine at the show, and I was a little nervous to do it, but it looked good in the end. But, yeah, everyone was like, oh, I can try to suplex you because people have tried to suplex me, they basically give me a modified brain buster, and I've gotten a few concussions. So I'm just like, yeah, if I could stay to the ground as much as possible, I'd really appreciate it.
Right, yeah. I remember being in a match one time with a gentleman, and he was pretty inexperienced, but he whipped me into the corner, and as he was whipping me, he said, the Jerry Lynn. And I'm like, I have no idea where this guy's coming from with this call for the Jerry Lynn. And so as he ran at me full speed, I just put up my boot, and he ate it hard. And when we got to the back, he said, hey, why did you do that? I called the Jerry Lynn. I said, well, I saw Jerry Lynn do that in a match one time. I thought that's what you were talking about.
I mean,
that
makes sense. I mean, yeah, it makes perfect sense because, like, if they just, like, and you got to, like, if they say just a move, a name, you're like, well, I don't know what you're going to do, and Lord knows what you're going to do to me when I'm not prepared for it, so I'm just going to stop that wholeheartedly. And then, I mean, he had to take the boot, I suppose, to eat it.
Absolutely.
Just to realize, hey, we're not doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to protect yourself.
Exactly. And then we were actually at a wrestling event. I was just at a wrestling event last night called Below Zero Wrestling, and a move called Winter Slam, and it was the main event for the BZW Championship. And they actually pulled out the Vertebreaker, and that was a move I've actually never seen done at an indie wrestling show at all. And then it was a brother trying to give his initial brother the Vertebreaker, and they reversed it into a Vertebreaker. I'm like, I've never seen that done, and that popped me, but it scared the hell out of me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed. There's a lot of stuff that I find myself watching matches from the back and just cringing at some of the impact these guys are taking. You know, early in my career, you know, I was given advice by, you know, one of the veterans at that time, and they said, you know, those things that you do to hurt yourself when you're young, they're going to catch up to you when you're older. You know, and when you're 18 and 19 years old and you think you're bulletproof, you're like, ah, whatever. But now I'm 47, and believe me, I'm feeling all of those bad decisions on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, like, I tell everybody, too, because they're asking me how, like, pro wrestling is, and I'm like, well, I've done football, I'm all this, I've done all that, and it's like, my knees are gone, and I got to get them both replaced. But I told them, and they're like, so are you going to keep wrestling? I'm like, well, I'm going to keep going until I literally can't do it anymore, but I'm not doing all this flippy-do kind of thing that I could easily break my neck on or anything like that. I've already had it that possibly happen, and I haven't done that big of stuff. And, of course, you have the athletic people trying to do all this flips and all this, and I'm just like, yeah, I will never, ever attempt that because I know if I do once, it's going to end pretty bad. And I've injured myself not even doing many things. Like, I mean, I injured myself getting out of the ring, and I've injured myself getting in the ring, and I've done more, like, hardcore matches and that kind of stuff than a lot of people I know, but, you know, they call me crazy, and it's like, well, I mean, I don't do anything too huge. If anything, I take a few shots and that kind of thing, but I don't go, like, deathmatch, GCW, I don't go anywhere that level because, you know, I ain't too stupid, you know what I mean? I'm a little stupid, but not as much.
Sure. I think Nick Bock
would have
said it best. He would say, you know, if you fall right, it hurts. If you fall wrong, you're retired.
That's exactly right.
That's awesome. We have Vance and Vance, I guess, here on 89.1 Ken's FM. So one thing I do want to ask you is you're definitely familiar with Leo Burke, correct? You eclipsed his record.
Yes.
Now, did you have a chance to wrestle him?
I didn't. Leo was at the tail end of his career when I broke in 93. I think, you know, he wrestled his final match in 97. And so we never did lock horns, but definitely have over the years drank a few beers together and enjoyed his stories from his tales on the road.
So when you were about to eclipse his record, did he contact you, or did somebody put you in contact with him to say, you know, did he come out and support you? Like, if, you know, like when, like a baseball player is about to break somebody's record, they come out and support him in the crowd. Did that happen or not really?
No, unfortunately, Leo is now in hospice care with advanced stages of dementia. And so he doesn't go out anymore. But I have been by to visit him and share the latest book because he's very heavily featured in it. And he was very appreciative of that.
And when you were going on this streak, when did you find out that you were close to the record, or did you know it from the beginning?
No, you know what? I think, you know, when you're wrestling, it's, you know, you're so immersed in, you know, the day to day of what you're doing, or the week to week of, you know, yeah, we're doing this town. Okay. That means that, you know, we're wrestling on Friday. So we need to have that promo cut by a week before, and we need to have the pictures to the newspaper by this date and time. You don't really count it up as you go. And in fact, it wasn't until I was putting together my book, Uncontrolled Chaos, and I really wanted to make sure that the book wasn't just anecdotal, that we actually had facts and stats and records in there. So one of the pieces of data that we had put in there was most title reigns for men and women domestically in Canada, and then also most title reigns for men and women and tag teams internationally outside of the country. And it wasn't until we started putting that list together that I was like, oh man, I'm like number two. Like if I have two more championship reigns, like I eclipse Leo Burke, and then had just an incredible year in 2002 coming out of the pandemic, where I found myself back in those championship positions for two different organizations. So it was a bit of a surprise to get there, actually.
That is cool. Now, what's interesting about all your title reigns and everything is all the different legends that you've had a chance to meet and wrestle. Now, I know that you've wrestled Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
I had the opportunity to both team with and wrestle against Jim Neidhart. Wrestled the Honky Tonk Man, Tito Santana, Tatanka, Matt Bourne.
He's kind of a jerk, isn't he?
Matt Bourne, you know, had a very bad reputation, but at the time that I met him, it was, you know, long after his run as Doink, and he was back on the Independents. And he was just a dynamic human being. You know, I really enjoyed working with Matt. He was very, very old school, both in his approach to matches, but just in the way that he interacted with his peers in the locker room. I became really good friends with Matt after having the opportunity to work with him.
I actually knew Matt Bourne when he wrestled for traditional championship wrestling in the independent scene here in Arkansas, where I'm from. I had the opportunity to get to know Matt before he passed away.
Vance and Matt is our guest here. We got on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 7 minutes here. And for those of you who listen to our show from time to time, know if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, you like that. Go to Ken's FM page, 89.1 Ken's FM on Facebook. Like that, do a $10 a month donation, Power of the Tower. We'll get you qualified to win a autograph from past guests, future guests, and or current guests. Now, would you be willing to send a few for giveaways?
Yeah, absolutely. We can get those in the mail tomorrow morning.
Awesome. And I would definitely love to read that book. I'll even send you a bonus if you need that. But I would love to read your book. Now, you said, unfortunately, we only got 6 minutes left here. I wish we had six more years because I'd like to Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Would you be willing to join us again so we can just talk about your books?
Yeah, I would love that.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. When I'm going to look, you know, we just lost Manny Poppo, who is supposed to be a guest on our show later this year. And unfortunately, he's not going to be able to do that because he passed away, which is really sad to me instead of all of us for the loss in the wrestling community. Would you be willing to take his slot?
I would be honored to do so.
All right. I will get you the information on that, and I'll also get you the information on where to send the autographs. So we got Vance Nevada here. We got 5 minutes left. Now, one thing that people know that have been listening to us for the last 6 years, I have an issue with the Honky Tonk Man, and I'm not going to make this about him, but the issue I have with him is I invited him to be on the show. And he says to me, well, I don't do Mama Basement Radio, so I'm not coming on your show. And I was like thinking, you know, and I'll tell you what, you're in such high demand right now, I can understand why you'd refuse my request. It was just rude for him to turn us down. Am I wrong in having ill will on that?
No, I think, you know, Honky, I've had the opportunity to work with him a lot. You know, all over Canada. You know, in headline matches on the East Coast and the West Coast. And he and I have always gotten along, but I've definitely seen experiences that other promoters have had or other wrestlers have had with him that weren't as positive, and I can certainly understand why they would be upset about that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes the advice that we get is never meet your heroes because they're going to let you down. And sometimes that's how those interactions go.
Awesome. I've never heard it put that way before, and I'm actually going to put that quote up on our website. That is a great quote. We got Mr. Nevada here. We got 4 minutes left here, so we can do this here. If our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Yeah, you can catch me on Facebook. Just look for Vance Nevada. You can find my own profile and my fan page. There's also a Facebook page for the book, Uncontrolled Chaos Book, where you can see some of the endorsement photos from some of the top wrestling stars that are getting behind the product, including current WWE headliner Kevin Owens. You can also find me on Instagram at BeefyG_Vance. And I've been posting a lot of, you know, personal pictures from my years in wrestling and some of the rough matches and folks that I've met over the years there as well.
That is cool. We got about 3 minutes here left with you. What's your schedule like the next couple weeks? Are you doing appearances? I know you're retired from competition, but do you still pop in every now and then?
You know what? Actually, I had intended to retire at the end of 2022. You know, just because the wear and tear on my knees and my hips is starting to catch up with me. But what's been really fascinating is that since the book came out in August, the demand for me has shot through the roof again. So from September 7th to the end of the year, I only had 3 weekends home. I was on the road somewhere across Canada, and I thought, well, that, you know, typically, you know, the interest dies off and you've got a bit of a hot streak and then you're sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring. But I really haven't had that break. You know, this weekend, you know, I'm off to British Columbia for matches in Kelowna and Kamloops. We've got dates on the schedule for Ottawa. I'll be in New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island on the east side of Canada this spring. So, you know, I've already got, you know, 25 or 30 dates where I'll be doing book signings and wrestling matches heading into the summer. And, you know, as long as the demand stays up and my body holds out, well, I'm just going to keep going.
Cool. So basically you went from the farewell tour in 2022 to the I can't say goodbye tour in 2023.
A little bit like that. Yeah. You know, my wife has been razzing me because, you know, I thought, well, you know, when I hit the 20-year milestone, I thought, well, this would be a good time to step away and retire. And now here we are at the 30-year milestone, and and we're still not quite there yet. So, you know, she's razzing me about it to say, I don't think you'll ever retire. You know, it's still fun to get out there on the road and meet the fans and get to interact with some great wrestling talent from coast to coast. And as long as it's still making money and I'm still having fun, I think we'll just keep doing it.
You know, and the other interesting thing is, you know, you could say, your wife always says that you'll never retire, but you could say, you know what, I'm good to my family. I never go home.
Yeah, you know what, my wife actually has a vacation planned this summer. She wants to go see Def Leppard in Dublin, Ireland in July. And it's going to be an expensive trip for her to go. And she said, does that bother you? I said, no, it doesn't bother me that you're going to go do this trip and take your best friend and you're going to go and have a great time. I said, but, you know, just don't stress about what I need to do to make the money for you to go. Because that means I'm going to be away a lot.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
I did. I saw them as part of their big concert or stadium tour. Last year with Motley Crue and Poison and Joan Jett here in Edmonton, Canada.
Yeah, that tour is coming to our Fargo Dome this summer.
Okay.
And I believe it was 2 years ago, just before COVID, that I saw Def Leppard and Journey together. And they put on a heck of a great show, and it's really awesome. So I hope you get to go see them again. That's awesome. But I'll tell you what, you are awesome, Mr. Nevada, and I will send you the information for the giveaways, and I will definitely have you on again. I'll get you that date, and we'll get you booked as soon as I can get everything all squared away for you, okay?
That sounds great. It was absolutely my pleasure talking to you all today, and I look forward to doing it again.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. You have a good night. We appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Nevada. All right, that's cool. So we're just waiting for our legend, Bob Cook, to call in, and hopefully that'll be soon. But what we're going to do here, we'll take a quick little timeout, and hopefully we'll get our next guest on after we hear these messages from our sponsors. So give us a few seconds, and we will be back after these messages.
As you know, 89.1 Kens FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Kens FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Kens FM.
Tune in every Friday night at 8 p.m. and join me, Joel Snerry Knight, as my music from outer space gets intercepted by your eardrums. We've got rock. We've got electronic. We've got old novelty records. We've got pizza. Okay, that technology is still being worked on, so until we can perfect the transmission of a pizza directly to your mouth, for now we can have an hour-long buffet of rock and roll every Friday night. That's Rock and Roll Space Station, Fridays at 8 p.m. right here on the best station in all the galaxy, and Fargo, of course, Kens FM.
And we are back here on 89.1 Kens FM. We're waiting for our guest to call, and I'm going to get him on the line to find out what the issue is. So in the meantime, if you guys just want to chat while I do this, I'll be right back. Go ahead. You guys chat it up.
Okay, well. Sounds like you've had a busy weekend, Matthias.
Yeah, well, with, you know, car trouble and then having to defend your title and then going back to doing another Wisconsin show, and then we got Minnesota and North Dakota again, and this will be the one weekend that I get to not have wrestling, and then the next weekend I'm back out in Wisconsin, and then I go to Bismarck, and I'm really glad that I'm finally getting to go out on the road and or hit the road again and continue wrestling. It's just, this has been one of the more busier years, which, you know, as a wrestler, I sure won't complain about it. I enjoy being able to do more programs and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, I still got my main job where I make the big bucks, but every time I get to go back in that ring, it's always a big stress release. And, of course, work is always full of stress depending on who you ask. So,
That's true. That's very true. So,
yeah, I've been waiting for you to get me down to Arkansas.
Well, I'm working on that. I mean, like I said, Ozark Mountain Wrestling, they're supposed to be making a big announcement in the next couple of days. And we actually had another promotion start right here in Springdale called Diamond State Wrestling that I could probably get you hooked up with the promoter that is over that, that is in charge of Diamond State Wrestling. I could probably get you, send you his information and let you get in contact with him.
Okay.
His name
yeah,
is
I mean,
Alexander Gold is his name, and you can find him on Facebook, and I can send him a message and, you know, send him your info, and, you know, and if you would like for me to do that, I can definitely do that for you.
Oh, of course. You know, like I said, I'm always more than happy to work. I'm always more than happy to go welcome or work at other promotions, especially in other states, because I've got South Carolina and the books coming up, and then of course I've got, you know, I'm trying to get down to Tennessee to a couple of promotions, and of course I've been waiting to get down to Arkansas and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, whenever an opportunity will present itself, or whenever somebody will reach out to me, I'll be more than happy to get on down there and to wrestle, because of course my cousin lives down in your guys' area. So whenever if I told him I was coming down to wrestle, I guarantee we'd get they both be coming to the show, because you know everyone wants to see me get my butt kicked all the time, and I'm more than happy to do it to make someone happy, especially those little brats of Fargo, North Dakota.
Well, there is one thing I do want to ask you about. There is one thing I do want to ask you about, Matthias, and I have no idea where our third guest is. We have 33 minutes before our theme song hits, our outro hits. So if, you know, this is probably going to bore our fans, but I guess the three of us can just talk and catch up till either our next guest calls in or we figure out what's going on. But here's what we'll do here. You know, last week, of course, Matthias, you know, we did miss you. And I want to kind of talk to somebody, you know, everybody would probably think I'm talking about myself, which I am. I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I kind of sent it to a chat to both of you guys, but I was offered two more film roles over the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you guys were aware of this.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah.
The next project I'm going to be involved in is Friday the 13th, Blood Loss. Now, I know, Matthias, I know you know Friday the 13th.
Well, of course.
Now, wouldn't it be isn't it interesting to have someone that you know acting in one of those movies?
Well, yeah, it's always, like with fan film, it's always nice to be able to, I mean, like I said, it's nice that you get to be a part of it and stuff like that. It's a great film series, and with a similar name, it's, I don't know what their plans are for that film, but I mean, it's always interesting when you get to say, hey, I was in, you know, a Friday the 13th fan film. It's always a great experience.
Now, have you had a chance to read the script I gave you for our project that you and I are going to be doing together?
Yeah, I actually got to read, and then, well, the dang thing was 68 pages, so what I did was I remembered my character's name, and I screenshotted the dialogue that I have to read or that I have to do, so I was kind of looking at that a little bit. Haven't done much recently with all my wrestling going on, but I'll have to start digging into it again because of we're getting the film coming up here in like a couple of months. So,
and what's interesting is that he sent me the final script, which is actually 74 pages.
Jesus.
And what's interesting is the fact that he is giving, well, I'll tell you what. I don't want you guys to take this out of context. He gave me the opportunity to be part of this project. And when he was on with us, if you remember, I said, would you be willing to have a part for both of us? And you and I are both listed as executive producers of this project.
Oh, really?
Which is called The Legacy. And as we know, part three is available right now. Part three is available right now, and you can find it on Tubi. And part one and part two are going to be filming. Now, we can't talk about plots or lines or anything like that, but we can tell what our basically that our characters are going to be in part one and part two. What capacity in part two, I don't know, but I know that we'll both be in it.
Okay, perfect.
And what's interesting is I've always said that if I ever got the leg up in a project, film project, sports team, which will never happen, anything, radio, movies, TV, entertainment, anything, I said that I would do whatever I can to get my friends involved, and I've done that. Now, I don't ever expect anything to be reciprocated back, but I'm glad I'm able to get people involved that are my friends. And I do believe we have the long-awaited Big Swing. Are you there, sir?
Hey, hey.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Oh, another day, another dollar, you know?
How much time you got?
I got the rest of the show if you need it.
Well, good. We're going to need it. I don't know what happened to my guests. You know, that's happened to us in the past, that guests have had to cancel or forgot to call in or fell asleep or whatever.
The reason why I wanted to call in to you,
and I don't know if Granny Hulkster or Matthias are aware of this, but you should be aware of this, Big Swing. What does April 3rd, 2023 mean to you?
April
3rd, 2023. What does that mean to you?
Well, April 23rd. Why should I be aware of April 23rd?
That's our 7th anniversary.
Ah, yes. Okay, I knew it was in April, but I wasn't sure that it was the 23rd. Okay, 7 years.
I kind of figured that's what it was, Icon, you know, even
well, I
haven't been a part of it that long, but...
Well, I was trying to think...
Well, we
like
actually started April 2nd, 7 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm like, wedding? No, that was September. I was like, it was this, was that? I was like, I don't know. But yes, I knew it was in April, but yeah, April 2nd. I knew the date wasn't exactly the 23rd.
And I'm going to go ahead and announce this now. The April 2nd, 7 years ago is when it actually started, when Dustin actually came here to Fargo for Maui Madness. And I told him, I said, you know what? If you ever are looking for somebody to be part of whatever you're doing, I would love to come work for you. And if you remember, the next week, that was after WrestleMania, that's when – we played Pass the Phone, if you remember. We had Buff Bagwell on. We had myself. We had Dustin on. We had Scott Steiner. If you remember, we played Pass the Phone. And that was also, I do believe, the WrestleMania where Stephanie McMahon wore that tight leather outfit when she came out with Triple H in the motorcycle.
Yes, I believe that was back in the Authority days, I believe. Yeah.
Correct.
And
I know that our fans are going to say, oh, he's going to talk about that again, but Big Swing, look at where we've come from where we started.
Long way.
Yeah, remember we used to come on the air talking about how bad Monday Night Raw was. And we used and remember that was entertaining for about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
and
was
then,
Dustin's vision because for anybody who doesn't know Dustin, he's very animated and he's extremely opinionated. And one of his favorite things to do is to complain or use a word that I can't use on the FM airwaves, but it starts with a B. And he likes negativity. You know what I'm saying? He thrives off of being the Debbie Downer in every situation. So the fact that he would come on and complain about, you know, he wanted to make a show about how terrible WWE had become was not surprising to me at all. But me, having grown up as a kid through the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era, and then – you know, maybe like the early CM Punk days when he was still the greatest in the world and all that, I was like, okay, it is kind of cheesy now compared to what it was and my nostalgia. So I was like, yeah, I'll go along with this. But you were right. We definitely needed to spice a little something up because I don't think the show would have lasted if it was just a complain fest. for, you know, every Monday night.
And what's interesting about that is, if you remember, I started out as a call-in guy, and then we had, I believe it was you, me, and Dustin, and a few others. Unfortunately, the few others decided to move on and do other things. Dustin's moved on to do other things. Technically, you moved on to do other things. Really, when you think about it, I'm the sole survivor that's left that's been on every single week since this thing started.
Yeah. You actually have, yes. And Granny the second longest behind that. Yeah.
Right. And Granny, do you remember when you joined us, how long ago that was?
Oh, it was a while.
Maybe at least 3 years ago, maybe. I mean,
it was around.
I think
that.
It was four. I think it was four because
okay.
Remember,
well,
we had your friend.
I knew it was three or four because I remember my very good friend, Chelsea Stackhouse, calling in that one night, and I called in to listen to the show because I know Chelsea quite well. Her and her wonderful husband, Sam Stackhouse, are very, very good friends of mine and through the wrestling business. And then it wasn't like maybe not even a day after I was on the show with you all that Icon contacted me and said, hey, how, you know, Big Swing and I talked, how would you like to become a part of the show? That's how Granny got on board.
And you know, it's funny because we actually caught a hidden gem with Granny because, you know, I see this all the time in my FM shows is, you know, we'll get our daily callers or our weekly callers, or we'll get somebody who we hear from all the time. And, you know, by no means are we going to make them a co-host. You know, I mean, yeah, we like their calls every week and they're fun and we got little nicknames for them. But no, like we're not going to, you know, you don't have any degree in radio. You know, this isn't your thing. But with Granny and the beauty of it being a podcast and the beauty of it being new was we needed new faces and ideas and voices and new opinions. And with a podcast, you can have as many co-hosts as you want. There's everything's canon when it comes to a podcast. So, you know, we had a lot of callers in the early stages that were, for lack of a better word, useless. Granny was not one of them. And she ended up sticking around this long, which is great because I thought for sure she would have gotten tired of the Icon by now. But you know, hey, who knows?
Well, that's kind of hard to do. But now, Matthias, now I believe you've been here with us what, 2 years now?
Yeah, just at least a year and a half, close to two.
And I believe that you started out as, you know, you and I talked about your wrestling career when you and I were both working for the Invaders together.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
And I was talking to you about wrestling, and remember, I made you your very first collector's card. I believe that's when you were wearing a hood or a mask or something at that time.
Yep, that was when the first one you made me, yeah, I believe that was the one where I put on that haunted mask because I was hanging out next to my friend the Demon. So, yeah, I think I wore that for a match one time, and then, yeah, that was the picture we took, and I posted that, so.
And, you know, and not that I'm bragging here, but the only name of this show that I don't own, I do not own Granny Hulkster. That's hers. I do own Big Swing, and I do own the Modern Nightmare. That's why I call you guys that, because and technically I own that, and I've always will own the Icon, even though someone did try and steal my personalized plates one time, and apparently
Oh, wow.
the guy was going around saying that he was me, and I'm like, how dare you do that? I am him. I am the only Icon.
Did he look like
how
you?
Could you do that? No.
Because, I mean,
you're a high school kid.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because if this was recent, like, I mean, you're a pretty recognizable figure, dude. I mean, there's not very many people that look like you, especially in Fargo, North Dakota, which isn't exactly the most populous place on the planet. So I think that, you know, if this was recent, I'd be like, yeah, that was a bad call, bro.
Right, and you remember when you came down here, when you asked about me, people knew who I was.
Yeah, see, so let me just go on the switchboard here and see what we got for time. Oh, we got plenty of time, 25 minutes, okay.
Well, we got 20 minutes before our theme song, too, but go ahead.
True, true. So I get down there, you know, it's March. It's March, and it's you know, it's cold up here in New York, but it's not anything like I experienced there. I get to Fargo, North Dakota. Well, I get to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I rent a car. I drive all the way out to Fargo, about 2 hour ride from Minneapolis. I get within 50 miles of Fargo. It's a beautiful day. Like, sun is in the sky. There's no wind, nothing. I get within 50 miles of Fargo when I'm in a blizzard. And I get there, and literally, like the sky just goes, like you see Fargo, North Dakota, 50 miles, the sky just goes gray, right? So I get there, and I'm in 3 feet of snow. I'm in snow up to my knees in March, mind you, mid-March. Like, March Madness tournament was about to go on. Like, this was, like, the second, third week of March. And, you know, I pull in my rental car, and I'm walking in. I see Mick Foley limping in. I see Billy Gunn. I see all these guys because we were there for an event, for this March Madness event. And I'm like, okay, this is cool, but I have no idea where I am. Everybody talks funny, you know. They're, you know, not funny. I shouldn't say that, but they talk differently than I do here in New York. And everybody's, you know, saying, "Oh, you got to go down here, got to go down there." I'm here to meet the icon. I have to do this podcast with him. I have no idea where I'm going, what I'm doing. I said, "Hey, I'm looking for Scott." And they look at me like, "Dude, that's a pretty common name. There's a lot of Scotts." I was like, "Oh, looking for a guy who wears a black trench coat, long hair, sunglasses inside, a lot of chains. I think he goes by the Icon." "Oh, yeah, I saw him down there. Like, I think he's down that hallway if you want to go down there." I'm like, "Oh, okay," you know. And I turn and I look, and you know, he's sort of looking at me because he hadn't met me yet really either. Looking at me, he's like, kind of giving me that, like, dog, you know, cocked the head to one side thing, wasn't sure. And then he was like, Swig. I was like, "Yeah." He starts walking towards me with these big strides with a trench coat on, and I'm like, I what is going to happen? Like, am I kidding? Am I going to die right now? Like, what is happening? And no, he came over, and he was the nicest dude ever. Intimidating look, but, you know, he got me through it and showed me everybody and introduced me to everybody, and, you know, everybody knows who he is. And that was good because they're like, "Oh, you were the Icon. You're in good company around here." And I'm like, "Oh, great, okay, you know."
I'm safe.
Yeah.
It
was literally like going to Hollywood and asking for Leo DiCaprio. That's really what it was like.
And if you remember that night, you and I sponsored Mariah Presser that night. Our show sponsored her appearance.
Yeah. How is she doing? Whatever happened to her?
She is boxing now, and she is just unbelievably kicking some major tail right now with who she's been boxing. I believe she is undefeated. Unfortunately, she's always so busy doing this. The last time I saw her, she was one of my bridesmaids at my wedding. And unfortunately, of the four of us, only two of us were there, me and Matthias. Unfortunately, you got COVID, so you weren't able to come up, and Granny was unable to join us. But the doors are always open for you to come on back down. And Bernadette, my wife, is wanting to go to New York, and hopefully that we could come visit you and have some fun out there for, I don't know, maybe a couple days, just to visit and you can show us around New York.
I mean, you know, I'm not in the city, right?
Well, yeah, I know, but I know you know how to get there.
Okay. No, of course. Yeah. I just, everyone just assumes that New York is New York City. So I just wanted you to know that I'm actually up in the suburbs. I'm about 2 hours north of the city, so just so you know. But all right, good. As long as you know that, because I didn't want you being like, hey, I'm bored, you know.
I'll probably show up there wearing my trench coat, my glasses up. People think I'm a native. But anyway,
in New York, dude, nothing's out of the ordinary. You see all sorts of crazy stuff when you start going to the city. There's actually a guy in Times Square called the Naked Cowboy. Now, he's not fully naked, but he's a guy who stands there. Doesn't matter the weather, season, rain, sleet, snow, sun, whatever. He stands there in his tighty-whitey underwear playing old country on his guitar, and people give him money, and they walk by and they take pictures with him and all sorts of stuff. I mean, you see anything in the city. But there's 8 million people in a 13-mile-long and 2-mile-wide stretch of land. I mean, you see everything. So it's insane.
You know, and the interesting thing is, so I want you to mark it on your calendar. I don't know what you'll be doing with baseball at that time, but it is around the opening time, April 23rd.
Yeah, it's early on.
No, not April 23rd, April 3rd, the 3rd.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But either way, that's still early in the season, so. Yeah.
So I'll let you guys know who we got on that show. We have Ty Burr returning. He's the movie critic. And we are scheduled to have Paul Borghese, who is from New York. He played Yogi Berra in the movie 61. And we're also going to have Barry Pepper, who played Roger Maris in the movie 61, for the opening of baseball season. And Deborah Richards is going to return that night as well. That will mark her 10th time on the show. So, and Dustin said that he will join us that night. So hopefully you'll be able to join us and be with us.
Yeah. Let me go on my calendar because, you know, that's right around the corner now for me. It's not like we're talking about next year.
Believe it or not, April 3rd is a Monday night, believe it or not.
No, April 3rd. Well, I don't know. I think opening day for baseball is like the 26th or something. But I can always get somebody to cover the games. I'm going to be doing the games at Yankee Stadium for a lot of them, but I don't think that's going to start until May or June. So I should be good to go April 3rd. Yeah, should be no issue.
Awesome.
I might even go in the studio so I can have a little better quality, and I'm not calling in on a cell phone.
Well, that's fine. And Matthias, I know you're going to be here for that. Granny, you'll be here for that. I mean, that's when you think about it, everybody nowadays has a podcast. Am I right? It seems like
everybody tries. Not everybody does, but everybody certainly tries. We definitely have the longevity, I would say.
And I think we've been the most successful as well. I mean, how many podcasts can say, one, they have their own theme song so they don't have to play somebody else's music and pay rights. They get multiple guests from multiple walks of life, whether it be sports stars, actors, actresses, writers, poets, you name it. And also the fact that they're heard on two different radio stations, 89.1 KINZ FM and ESPN New York. So it's
– Well, if I'm going to be candid and pull the curtain back a little bit here – when we first came up with the idea, I was a little bit of a skeptic. I was like, hey, we had Buff Bagwell. That was cool. And, you know, but how long is this gonna last? Is this going to be something that people are going to care about? Is this something that we can continue to do? And, you know, I know with my radio shows, like my sports shows and stuff, obviously a majority of it is talking. Yes, we take callers, but you go back and forth with your host and your co-host, and you have topics, and you play sound bites, and you do this, and, you know, you do things to keep it interesting. For me, I'm like, oh, we're just sitting there talking to three people a night. Like, how interesting could that be? And like I said, I wasn't as big of a believer in the format at first. But was I wrong on that with how popular it's become, where we have wrestlers, well, not even just wrestlers, but mostly wrestlers, but not limited to, but reaching out to us specifically to say, hey, when am I coming on your show? Oh, hey, I have a friend who wants to get on your show. Or, oh, hey, you know, I have a client who I would love to get them on your show. I mean, most small time, and we don't get me wrong, we are small time. None of us are still really getting, you know, a huge paycheck out of this, if anything at all. We would still be considered small time in the FCC scale. What other small time podcast doesn't have to bust their behind to go out and get people and basically offer, you know, anything short of sexual favors to get somebody on the air. You know what I mean? Like, hey, dude, I'll do absolutely anything. Just come on, talk to us. No, we got people coming to us. We got people. We got to book them out till 2024 because we don't have enough room because we only have a 1 week show. So, you know, I do want to talk to you off the airwaves regarding possibility of making this more than one day a week, even if it's a sub show or a smaller show or you know, do like a Raw, SmackDown, or Nitro Thunder if that's your thing, type of deal. But that's something that might be in the works down the road. I don't know because. You know, I know a lot of these guests, things might happen like happened tonight. I wasn't on. I don't know what happened with the guests tonight. But sometimes, you know, if it were me, for example, and you booked me on a show in April of 2024, there's a very, very good chance with the quote that Icon loves so much, prior obligations and life's complications, that I probably would totally forget about it unless you were, up my butt to remind me about it. So... I think to be able to get a lot of these guests on and spoken to, relatively quickly, and get as much content out there as we can, is something that we got to do. And I'll admit, I've been slacking a little bit from the production standpoint, with the new baby and everything. I've been, kind of sitting back in the shadows and letting you guys run it, but, and you've done a good job. I'm not saying you didn't, but we have to start really pumping the Facebook and getting an Instagram up and running and really starting to market this bad boy. So, you know, new year, new show, really, you know, got to start making some big changes. So,
how is the baby, by the way?
He's good, very good. She's actually a really good baby. I was under the impression that if babies are awake, they're screaming. So I was like, oh, God, I'm not, you know, I didn't sign up for this, you know, I'm like, oh, man. But no, she's actually been really good. She just sits around and babbles and looks around. She only really cries if she wants her bottle and needs a diaper change. But she's actually been very, very good so far, which is refreshing.
How old is she now?
As of the 8th of this month, well, so in 2 days, she'll be officially 2 months. She was born on December 8th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So still
awesome.
Young, but... starting to really kind of look around and see things interact, which is nice. So,
Has she discovered that she has a voice yet?
No. Well, no. She has a voice, but she, I mean, she babbles and stuff, but she doesn't, obviously not saying anything, yeah.
Well, but, no, but I mean, she's discovered she can make sounds and, know.
Yep.
Well, actually,
I do need to
make one correction, though.
Yes.
We are actually booked now until the end of 20. We're actually booked till the beginning of 2025 now, actually.
Ah. Well, then.
we have 2 solid years' worth of guests right now.
Well, look at that. And which is, again, same point I made. If you tell me, oh, yeah, we'll see you in 2025, chances are I'm going to forget about it because I just have a lot going on. I know a lot of people. People that we talk to have a lot going on. So I'm going to try to find a way. I'll work on it this week, try to find a way to get a lot of these people on, and get them interviewed a little quicker, hopefully. But we'll see. We'll see how it works. We'll see what we can do. One other thing, and I want to say this from a quick, complete 180 standpoint, as the show's anniversary looms nearer. Is it me, or has Raw been kind of, like, sneakily good the last couple of weeks? I don't usually get a chance to watch Raw, but I've been sitting home, you know, with the baby and everything. I haven't been working, and might as well watch Raw. Why not? And it's been strangely good. For those of you who missed it, who are wrestling fans, and Icon and Granny, I can send you guys the link if you would like. One of the best talkers in the business right now, and I'm not talking about myself, one of the best talkers in the business right now, Paul Heyman, had a very, very personal promo with Cody Rhodes. And they're really building a personal storyline going into WrestleMania. And it even included Paul Heyman kind of tearing up a little bit. So definitely dramatic, definitely something worth checking out. The final match of the night with Becky Lynch and Bayley in a steel cage had a surprise guest.
Yep.
Coming to make
I saw
the
stage.
So
I saw that.
For those of you who haven't watched it, we won't give you any spoilers. But
no,
Raw's actually been strangely good, and you know, ever since they pulled the PG brand off and let Triple H do his thing, things have gotten a lot better, actually. Yeah.
But it just, you know, it just makes you wonder what Vince McMahon is going to do now that he's back. You never know. But anyway,
yeah.
we got how much time we got left here before we well,
nine
we got about 5 minutes here.
Nine.
Well, yeah, we got
9 minutes,
okay. And then we got 5 minutes before we. I'll tell you what, we need to take a quick little break. Yeah, we need to take a quick little break, and we'll be back after these messages from one of our big sponsors. So we'll be back. Stick with us after this message. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Attitude Era. Monday, live, Monday.
This is the Icon. Listen to 89.1 Ken's FM Monday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Join me, Granny Hulkster, Matthias, and the Big Swing for the hottest interviews with interesting guests from film, literature, sports, and more.
The Attitude Era. Monday, live, Monday.
Believe it or not, I actually love that promo. There's a reason why I love that promo, because I wrote it. And by the way, that was, did you guys recognize the voice of the NWO? He did that promo for us.
I did notice that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, he was a guest, what, Matthias, 3 months ago now, maybe?
At least half a year, if not more. I think he was near the beginning of 2022.
Right, yeah. And, you know, all these guests kind of run together. But, you know, the one thing, Big Swing, I was kind of hoping you would be join us, that you would join us when we had Eric Bischoff on. We were really hoping that you would have been on with us for that.
I honestly really, really wanted to talk to Eric. But that, unfortunately, was a bad night for me in terms of what I had going on personally, and I wanted to maybe catch the last however many minutes of it, but yeah, I had a lot of questions for Eric, but you know, hey, he's a friend of the show. Maybe we'll get him on again at some point, you know. But yeah, that's what I'm kicking myself about, because all the major interviews that we've had with like big time Attitude Era and before stars that we've had on. You know, I've been here for, you know, the Ken Shamrocks, the DDP, you know, Gilbert, yes, I'll consider him a star there, Animal, you know, from Legion of Doom, you know, all these guys I've been on for. So, yeah, Bischoff I'm kicking myself about, certainly. But, you know, we got to talk to Vicky Guerrero, which was nice. I liked that one. But yeah, you know, just something life got in the way, and unfortunately couldn't make it on.
And, you know, I'm still trying to work on getting your hero on with us. I know if I can get your hero on, you will drop everything to interview him. I know you will.
I literally, and again, you know, don't take this the wrong way for anybody that's out there listening, but if you got the four-letter word, if you got Edge, or if you got the five-letter word, Bliss, I know you can't talk to Alexa Bliss because she's under contract, but if you got Edge or Bliss on, I would drop the baby to get on the air. You know, I know that's terrible to say, but I'd be like, hold on, baby,
well,
daddy's busy.
Hey,
you know,
Icon,
I mean?
I sent a couple pictures to Big Swing today. My son got a T-shirt from one of our wrestling referee friends. He had a lot of, you know, different shirts for sale, you know, WWE shirts and stuff that he was, you know, that he had that he was selling, and one of them just happened to be Little Miss Bliss.
So I took a couple pictures of Anthony today when we were at lunch, and I sent him to Big Swing, and I said, Anthony wants to know if this makes you jealous because he has an Alexa Bliss shirt on. And Big Swing says, I am, and I told Anthony that, and Anthony just died laughing. He just thought that was so funny.
It would have been even more jealous if he had Alexa Bliss's actual shirt on. You know, but
I know,
again, you
know,
She's so little that I don't think, you know, any grown adult can fit. I mean, I think she wears child's clothing at this point. She's so small. But no, that or an Edge shirt. I'm like, yeah, hey, you know, it's. I wish I had one of the two, but, you know, I shoot for the moon. I go big with it. You know, if I'm gonna order a shirt,
well, my friend made him that superstar, you know, rated R superstar tumbler. You know, that I posted a picture one time of him, you know, having that tumbler, and I probably could get one of those tumblers made up for you, Big Swing.
Oh, that might be cool.
I'll have to talk to my friends, see if they're still in the doing the Tumblr business, which I think they are, but I'll have to contact them and ask them. But I could probably try to get you one of those rated R superstar tumblers.
So, Matthias, do you have any matches this weekend?
No, actually, I will be taking a little mini vacation from wrestling Friday and Saturday. Excuse me. And then the next week, the next match I should be having, if not, I'm booking earlier than that, would be March 4th. And then it just all goes, and March is going to be busy every weekend. And then April will be 3 out of 4 weekends. May is going to be all 4 weekends. Like, it's going to be pretty jam-packed. I think this is the next week or two that I'm going to have free from wrestling.
And, Granny, I believe you'll be busy Sunday, right?
Touchdown, Raiders!
That was unnecessary, Big Swing. Absolutely, yes, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy because my husband was teasing me 2 weeks ago when the Chiefs played against the Bengals. He told me, he says, oh, you're going to go play bingo. You're not going to stay home and watch the game. I said, no, I am staying home and watching the game. Well, one of my friends that I know from where I go play bingo at, I saw her at another place I go play bingo at, and she says, you'll be there Super Bowl Sunday to play bingo. I said, no, I'm going to be glued to my television watching the Super Bowl, and nobody better call me. And if they do call me, it better be an emergency because I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl Sunday. So my Chiefs, go Chiefs, you know. How about them Chiefs, you know, so I'm ready.
Boy,
I think it's going to be a good game.
Fans,
I think it's going to be a good game.
That was a tough finish. If you're a Bengals fan, that was a tough finish. I mean, they were out of field goal.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Yes, thank you, Icon. No, he was 5 yards out of bounds, and the guy hit him, and dumb penalty put them in field goal range. It was just, if you're a Bengals fan, you got to be sick right now, so.
Yeah,
I would have
kicked him right off of this planet if I would have been the coach of that.
But you know what though, go Chiefs! I'm rooting for you, Chiefs, Granny, because I can't even stomach
okay.
The Eagles.
We got about 30 seconds here before our theme song kicks on. So anyway, join us next week. Be checking out our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday for our guest next week. And as always, remember, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. Make sure you love each other, care for each other, and stay healthy. And join us every week, Attitude Era, Monday Live, Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM. And we are about now ready to play Big Swing's favorite song as we close out. We'll see you next week.
You think you know me?